It's Friday, October 5th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, everyone, got a great show for you tonight. Got a special guest in the studio. Strap in because, oh yes, here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. My name is Todd Cochran, and wow, yes, I am up. I'm awake. I'm over my jet lag, I guess, somewhat. And I got a great show lined up for you tonight, and I'm glad you're all checking in. Lots of great emails over the last couple of days as well. But as always, if you're checking out the show for the very first time, make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all the great content there. Of course, click on the podcast link to take you to the podcast archive. And also, subscribe to our newsletter so you get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And, of course, to all of the Ohana, all of the extended family out there, hey, folks, thanks for staying subscribed, being part of the family. Wow, what a week. I'm going to tell you. And, you know, we almost had Mom on the last show, but jet lag overdid, about done us both then, didn't it? How are you, Mom?
I'm great. I had some sleep, was incredible. Kind of a little mini vacation going on there. I got to sleep in.
So I told you, I said, well, I got to do a show. And I, be honest with you, Jeff, the content manager at Raw Voice, talked to him the next day. He says, dude, I listened to your show and you sounded like you were tired. And, oh, man, I was tired. I really had a hard time. Matter of fact, I think when I was post-editing the show, or actually, you know, getting ready to put it up, I think I actually fell asleep here and in the office in the posting of it. But I want to take a few moments, and of course, for those of you that don't know, Mom is the podcaster of the Sherrycast over at CHERIECast.com, and her and I do a show, every whip stitch. We put together one last night, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
So that was a pretty good one, and I think if you get a chance, check that out. And of course, we're going to be doing at least one more before you go home, so that should be a lot of fun. Well, what we got going on here is Mom is on the Heil PR40 across from me, and of course I'm on the Rode NTK mic, so a little difference in sound, and I'm looking at the levels here, and I don't have everything completely dialed in right, but we'll fix that at the end. So, Mom, you're out there with me at the Podcast and New Media Expo, and you actually had a few takeaways, because you actually went to the conferences, some of the conferences, and I didn't get to any of them, so except for the one I was on the panel on. So what was your kind of pre-qual before you went in, and then what did it end up being when you were actually there?
Well, I think my thinking was, my perception perhaps is the word, of podcasters was a solitary soul, one person, one computer, you know, kind of out there, no people skills, no, you know, preferring to be more the kind of the lone person.
Like the Lone Ranger or something.
Didn't want to assimilate in with, you know, the pack or whatever.
So if you kind of assume we are all of us are doing these shows, a bunch of loners, right?
Kind of. Just from the fact that it would be a solitary job.
Right.
And
well, a lot of podcasters have multi-host shows too.
True.
That's, yeah, like you and I have a multi-host show. Yeah. So anyway, what was the end? What was your impact of seeing the podcasters in action?
Well, it was absolutely the opposite, actually, because here was a bunch of people that are not afraid to stand up in a group, very outgoing, very self-confident. Grab a microphone, ask a question, you know, pose an answer or whatever. And so it occurred to me, heck, These are just people that previously had no outlet or no forum. They're really very outgoing people, frustrated speakers with no place to speak.
Right.
No place to, you know, people with wonderful opinions and no place to vent those. So it was quite an eye-opener for me, I think. I just saw just a friendly, you know, just a totally different, not the withdrawn kind of people.
Right, right, right.
Very outgoing.
I think, though, what you find is that there's, you know, this is not an easy gig, you know, to do this on a regular basis, on a consistent basis. And I think one of the things I struck even home when I was writing my book back in 2005 was that, you know, if they're going to pick a topic, pick one that they can talk about for a year, you know. And even though people are very passionate and they want to have a voice, sometimes they run out of gas because they don't have enough material. And I think that's why we see a lot of people pod fade. Now, the show that you and I do together, we've kind of morphed it a little bit from what it originally started out to be, but it's still, you know, kind of on the same vein of, you know, trying to help people with specific issues and that type of stuff. So,
it was an ongoing life, a life in the voice or whatever.
Right, right,
and,
right.
And it's just as growth and happened, so the show morphed, as you say.
Right. So what do you think of the crew? What do you think of my crew, my great crew?
Oh, they're just incredible. Just highly intelligent, huge intelligence. It's so factual that, okay, when you have one person, you have one mind. When you have two people, you got four minds. It's that kind of thing. And they are just the epitome of that. Just great insight. They have direction. Everything that you would want to be around, you know, young people with vitality, just fun.
Yeah, I think you kind of got a feel of that when you came out to hang out with us in Chicago earlier in the year. And I think we're going to plan on doing, doing that again. So I guess we'll see what happens. But anyway, tomorrow's kind of a big day here for those of you that weren't watching the calendars. Tomorrow is my actual official, quote-unquote, official pomp and circumstance retirement ceremony where basically it's kind of my hour and a half to shine and have fun and get roasted a little bit on the way out and
reminisce about 24 years of incredible sights.
Yep, different jobs and things and people. And so that's going down tomorrow. I had thought about maybe doing a live video stream on that, but I asked around and they were a little nervous about letting me live stream from where we were going to have the ceremony. They were, you know, they were just worried a little bit about, even though there's not really going to be anything around security wise or anytime you've got a, you know, some sort of live video going out and around a base that's active, it's not, it's, you know, it's one of those things you get the raised eyebrow. Now they let you videotape the ceremony, but they didn't feel comfortable having us live stream it. So probably what I'll do is I'll have some outtakes I'll maybe put up online after it's all over. I'm going to have someone there videotaping for us. So it should be good. I got lots of food. I am coughing again tonight. What is up with that?
It's allergy time.
I think something. I don't know what the heck's going on with me.
You know, we were talking about the food, and I was just going to tell you, Todd, that it occurred to me after we were saying, oh, we're going to have lots of food. You know what the Amish always say about their, when they have their weddings or wherever they have large gatherings.
Right.
People never talk about if there's leftover food, but people always talk if they run out of food.
Oh, yeah.
So you always never want to run out. You always want to have some leftovers because you don't want to be the one that people talk about. Well, they ran out of food.
He was so cheap. Well, they had, and one thing that you can always be guaranteed of, there's always guys looking for a free plate to take away, you know? So I have no doubt that the food will be all consumed, and if nothing else, I'll put the call out to the different squadrons and say, hey, there's a bunch of food over here left over. Come get it, and and they'll come get it and clean it up and put it to good use, refueling the body. But anyway, I've spent the last two or three days checking out, so I've actually been back in uniform this week doing things I got to do to officially depart. That's all done. Got family in. Shoko's folks flew in, Wednesday morning, I guess. So they're here, and so we got a big crew that's in. So I guess it'll be interesting tomorrow. Well, of course, we'll tell everybody all about it on Tuesday of next week. But what do you got to add? What do you think about this whole podcasting space and what's been going on here for the last couple of years?
I think it's only the tip of the iceberg. I see some incredible, you guys have, aside from the podcasting, a whole concept that you're working with. But the podcasting is just in its babyhood. It's just an infant. And it's going to grow and grow. And it's just fun for me to even understand what little I understand.
You know, I think we're starting to morph a little bit away from the word podcasting. It's, with YouTube and all, all the different sites that are out there, we're now moving into where it's all kind of become jumbled together and it's kind of new media. And I think that's evident with the name change for the show next year, which we all have a little bit of concerns about. We'll see what happens with the show moving to Vegas. And then there's this thing in Blog World going on next month. I don't know if I'm going to go out to that yet. I have to make a decision here in the next couple of days whether or not I'm going to go. And it's cheap to create media now. All you need is I started a $695 LabTech headset and some free software. And at the time, who would have ever thought this thing would have grown? I had no idea that this thing would grow into the, not necessarily monster, but the, what it has in just such a short time. It is pretty amazing.
Starting out just to be a hobby, to be on the leading edge of something new, and then to grow.
Yep.
It's incredible.
Like I tell people, I like to talk. So as this audience well knows, as long as I go at times, I tell people, my show's hour 15 minutes. They're like, huh? Hour 15? Do you have any listeners? And I'm like, yeah, we're growing every month too. And people are astonished. So it's the fortitude of this listening audience. But we are back on our regular schedule, folks. I'm not going to keep you here all night, Mom, because I know you've got some things to do. You guys are actually preparing some stuff downstairs. Any parting words for the audience?
Well, I just think it's an exciting transitionary time that you're in, Todd, and I'm sure your listeners are excited to move into a new phase with you, a new phase of your life, and some things are not going to change, and that's what's so wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, I think we'll see what happens, and they're more than an audience. Remember, they're the Ohana.
Absolutely.
And they're the family here. And as I've told you before, when I sit in here and do this, even though I am alone in the room usually, it's just like I'm talking to the extended family. So I'll let you go ahead and roll downstairs. Thanks for coming up, spending a few minutes with us tonight.
My pleasure.
And I'm sure we'll have you on again. But wow, everyone, check out Mom's show at SherryCast, SherryCast.com. And let me go ahead and make a little switch here. Hang on one second. And let me get into, I got a lot of stuff for you tonight. And if you have any comments for her, you can always send stuff to her directly as well at SherryCast@gmail.com. But before I roll into all the cool, the cool news for the day, let's take care of a little business here. If you want to make an impact online, GoDaddy.com has what you need. .com names as low as $1.99, plus world-class hosting, fast and easy website builders, and much, much more. Plus, enter the code Todd, T-O-D-D, when you check out and save an additional 10% on your order. Get your piece of the internet at GoDaddy.com. Some restrictions apply. See site for details. Again, that code is T-O-D-D Of course, you can use the code ALOHA and save an additional $20 off an order of $75 or more. Or you can use the code GEEK5 and save 15% on an order of $20 or more. So thanks for GoDaddy for being a continued sponsor here at the Geek News Central podcast. You got a lot of cool things coming up with them as well. Plus, Andy McCaskey and I were talking at Expo about some new things we're going to be doing with the roundtable over at Tech Podcast. I'm pretty excited about where we're going to go with that. So we'll be announcing another roundtable here shortly. But if you haven't had a chance to check out the show over there, make sure you get over to techpodcast.com and check out the latest roundtable. Along with that, if you get a chance, try out GoToMeeting. Because these days, whether you're in business or simply want to share something with friends or family, email and voicemail really just isn't enough. That's why you should try GoToMeeting, a web conferencing solution that will revolutionize how you communicate with your business associates, family, and friends. With GoToMeeting, it's just like you're all in the same room. Unlimited meetings for one flat rate means you meet as often as you want for as long as you need. Try it yourself for free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. Okay, for all of you that have Zunes, hey, good news. Podcasting support coming directly to Zunes. Version 1s are going to get updated with a firmware push. I got a press release announcement from Microsoft, and I'm really, really excited. Now, while we'll see how it makes an increase to the actual number of people listening to podcasts, I think it's important, though, that to recognize that you're going to be able to sync your Zune without ever being connected to your computer. So you'll be able to get new content whenever you're at home on your wireless network. Now, the sad part is they didn't make it so you could get the updates while you were just anywhere, but you do have to be connected to your home network, and it interconnects with your computer. Lots of cool stuff coming from Zune. I think Microsoft is on the right track here. I'm glad to see them having jumped into the space finally, and we'll see where they go from here. Now, I do know that one of the individuals that is on the Zune team just actually got hired to the Zune team as a prior Tech Podcast Network member. So he's going to be working there and going to be working to make sure that the Zune, the Zune podcasting experience turns out to be a good one. So I look forward to seeing what Rob has to say. And I know he's probably, he's going to be sucked into the culture over there and and probably in all likelihood will not be able to say very much. But at the same point, it's nice to see that they've hired someone from within the podcasting space to actually, they got some good people over there working on that as well. I met some of them at Expo. And while I wish they would have made their announcement at Expo, it definitely would have made a significantly bigger bang for our news-wise. But for those of you that have Zunes out there, yes, podcasting support coming to your Zune in a very short time through a firmware update. I think the firmware update's going to be next month, so we'll keep our fingers crossed on that. All right, what have I got in the stack for you here tonight? Oh, I wanted to let you know. I have upgraded to Thunderbird. Now, my initial experience with Thunderbird is, well, it's definitely not any Outlook. It really isn't. And there's a few things I'm missing already, and I'm sure there's plugins for it. I'm going to have to dig in a little deeper. I did have a big surprise, though, because I had some of my PST files that were open, were like my archive PST files. They got sucked in, just like a folder. And I'm thinking, how come this, this should be its own, its own file, but it didn't quite work that way. So definitely some different nuances, but one thing's for sure. My PC is running at normal speed now. I'm not, I can go here and I'm clicking get mail right now, and I can still go ahead and open up FeeDemon, and my machine's still running. It's a beautiful thing. It really is. So while I did not uninstall Outlook 2007, I just simply am not using it. And I think at some point I'll go back to Outlook 2003 for Word. Just don't need all those Outlook 2007, Microsoft Office 2007 features. It just, it's bothered me that much. I'm going to regress or actually load OpenOffice on the computer. So I haven't made a decision at which way am I going to go. But anyway, enough on that. Okay, let's Tech Dirt's got an article about feds accidentally turning off California government websites. For some reason, there was some sort of there's no information on why they were turned off, but apparently around noon Pacific time, which is 3 p.m. back on the East Coast, the General Service Administration shut down the ca.gov domain, and all California government websites went offline. It took a few hours, I guess, because some of the GSA folks that are in charge of that decided to go home. So, I wish I had had a government job where I could have went home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But apparently those people were heading out the door and they had to be recalled or something. So it took a couple hours to get the ca.gov domain turned back on. So I'm sure we're going to hear more about this. But, someone accidentally turned them off. But, it's kind of odd that they would accidentally turn off the domain. It just doesn't make any sense. But we'll see if we find any more information on that as the time goes on. I think I've actually posted this article that I've got up here, and I'm actually looking for a date on this. I think what happens is it actually gets recycled from time to time. But there's a great photo that was taken in 1946, and it was a camera that was mounted in one of the first rocket-borne camera, which gave some of the initial pictures of Earth from space, and it's a very grainy black and white picture, so I'll have that up in the show notes tonight. But I think I've linked that before. That article looked familiar. Over on apcmag.com, there is a very interesting article about Internet Explorer version 7, and it also talks about why IE7 is so bloated as compared to Firefox. There was also, in addition to this interview, an announcement made today by Microsoft that anyone that is running Windows XP, and it doesn't matter if it's a hacked version or not, they're going to allow all of those people to upgrade to IE7 without going through the Genuine Advantage, essentially authentication process. And this appears to be a move by Microsoft to increase IE7's market share because it has been lagging because Firefox has been making a significant impact. But what I find annoying with this interview is that, there's well-known bugs in IE7. It's caused issues primarily like some sites have had problems with PNG files being displayed. And, they're going, oh, that's not an issue, but yet it's still being widely reported on the Internet. And they talk about why IE7 is like 15 megabytes compared to Firefox's, relatively small 6 meg, and goes into all these deltas between the two browsers. And it talks about why IE7 will never have plugins where Firefox's, development has exploded because of plugins. It just, it really shows me here that Microsoft is still quite a bit out of touch with the needs of the community out there. And while they have a significant advantage by IE being installed by default on all Microsoft deliveries, all Microsoft Windows deliveries, it is good, I think, that the Firefox community has push the Microsoft team into, making some advances and changes to Internet Explorer and bringing it up to date in their own way. So we'll see what happens as time goes on. But, maybe just because my site's a geeky site, I still see Firefox making gains on Internet Explorer every month as compared to, as compared to in the past where i.e. was, you know, never encroached upon. You know what? I have, I got a glass of water up here, but I got like this deep cough that wants to keep coming out. And there is definitely something going on in this office, because I was out of the office all day today, no problem. So we are going to, I'm actually going to tear this office apart this weekend and take all the furniture out, take all the computers and air them out. There's got to be something in the air here that's killing me. Now, I know that several of you have suggested to me that I need to get a HEPA filter in the office. I think that is going to be on a priority buy list, because there's just something here is driving me crazy. And here it comes. It's right there. It wants to come out. All right, let's move on to the next article. There's a Apple Insider report that says that 10% of September iPhones were sold to unlocking teams. There was an analysis team that sat outside Apple retail stores and were observing purchases made, and we're seeing a lot of people buying, you know, iPhones in as many as five at a time, which is what the max is allowed by Apple for any one person to buy. And so they assumed that all those were going out for to be unlocked. Now, lots of news today on that front as well. And it just goes into some theory on why Apple really got, you know, really went after the people that, like me, that unlocked their phones. And part of it is they think the reason they got real heavy-handed was because they're in negotiations right now with a lot of different carriers all over the world. And they're trying to use the AT&T model to get revenue back into them. And they felt, or what is speculated, is that if they had not really cracked down on the unlocking, that that would have changed their bargaining position with these wireless providers, because the wireless providers would have gotten scared and run from the deals. So, wow, that's weird. Phone's ringing here late. And we'll see how many times. Well, they got it on the first ring. But the so that's the speculation, is that Steve has had to fold to the pressure of AT&T and the other carriers that are making arrangements with, you know, for fear if they had not, that you know, some of their deals would have fell apart. I think, as I said on the last show, you know, come on, you know, if Apple was smart, if they were really, really smart, the iPhone success this far has been built upon the hype of all of the early adopters, all of the early adopters that have went out and created cool applications. I mean, lots of cool applications. I mean, so many cool applications, can't even name them all. But yet, when they upgraded the phones, they wiped all that stuff out and making it very hard to jailbreak a phone and get, you know, information back into them, get those cool apps loaded. And yet today, they announced their strategy on all of the companies that they have partnered with. And partnered probably means the money in their pocket. All the companies that they have partnered with that are going to be building applications for the iPhone, which have essentially companies that have full access to the real API to be able to build real, rich media, cool applications. And you know those are going to come in a premium. None of that stuff is going to be free. It's just going to be like any other phone out there. So you know what? Apple has sold out to the man. He really, really has. And I retain my statement that I would rather have an iBrick than have a phone running on AT&T. And I think what I'm going to do at some point here in the very near future is either auction my phone off, put it on eBay or whatever, and then I'm just going to go buy a Nokia N95. You know, I'm just going to have to do that, because it's obvious to me on the surface that Apple has raised their fist up in the air. They have flipped up their middle fingers at all the independent developers out there and, you know, basically told their community, where to go. That's essentially what has happened here with what Apple has done. Now, I can understand them going after the unlockers like me. I can understand that. That's within their right. They gave fair warning that that's what they were going to do. They gave fair warning that the phone's warranty would be, you know, voided if you did that. At the same time, they did not say that they were going to shut down all the, you know, the hundreds and hundreds of third-party developers that were creating cool apps to be put on phones that were jailbreaked. But they did just that. So, I don't know. I haven't heard too much feedback from you guys. Do you think Apple has blown it? You know, we can argue about the, you know, their right to do that. I'm not saying they didn't have a right to do it. But at the same point, do you think Apple has really hurt their brand here? Or is it just, you know, more of the status quo? It's a big corporation. They're looking after the bottom line. They want to make the most money they can on a product. And they're going to exclude the external community because it's going to be pay to play. You want on the iPhone, you are going to have to pay big, 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 big bucks to get your app on the iPhone. That's the only way it's going to happen. So, bravo to Nokia and the N95. Bravo to Nokia for having podcasting support built in. And we'll see. We'll see where this goes. And we'll see what the numbers are for October when they come in on the number of sales since they made this change. It's going to be definitely interesting to see what happens. Now, I know that some community sites have refused to even talk about it anymore. They have basically put their hand up in the air and said, no more iPhone news out of us. Microsoft has burned a bridge and we're not going to give them any love like we used to. Now, I'm sure there's some Mac fanboys here. I don't contest your, you know, your reasoning for, you know, sticking up for Apple. But for those of you that had jailbreaked your phones and just, you know, were running AT&T on it and had loaded cool apps, did you upgrade? Did you stay where you're at? Are you mad now that you can't put those apps back on your phone? You know, what's your thought process? Was the little stupid thing that they updated, the little iTunes Wi-Fi store, was it worth it? You know, for me, if I'm going to buy some music on iTunes, it's going to be through iTunes directly on my PC. And then I'm just going to sync to my phone. I don't know. I guess I'm not that age group that is going to be making, spur-of-the-moment buys on music tracks when I'm walking around. All right, spend enough time on that. Let's move on to one of our other villains that we like to talk about all the time on the show. And it's really, this is bad news. It really is. The RIAA trial verdict is in, and the jury finds this lady with the last name of, I guess her name is Jamie Thomas. They have found her liable for infringing the record label's copyrights on all 24 recordings. Okay, remember, this is they had found 24 shows that she had infringed on, and the jury awarded $9,250 in statutory damages per song. And after finding that the infringement was willful out of a possible total of $150,000 per song, the grand total of the damages for having 24 songs on a shared network like Kazaa was $222,000. Well, she essentially kind of, you know, she really hurt her case. She should have settled. She really should have. And the RIAA is gloating. And I'm sure what this is going to result in is them going after more people. They have a new notch in her belt. And what's sad here about this whole thing is that this lady spent thousands of dollars on actually buying legal music. And she had a huge, huge, huge music collection. So I'm going to bet you that this lady doesn't buy any more music. $222,000. Who are they kidding? Who are they kidding? And the jury here, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. This is just shocking. It really is that this jury would do this. And there was a battery of television cameras and TV reporters that were there. So, of course, the RIAA were, now they were gloating. But, you know, where's justice here? 24 recordings, and the grand total damages were $222,000. That's some serious injustice. Okay, you know, go ahead and fine her for the normal amount, but to make the damages $222,000 for 24 songs, who are they kidding? Really? This is just, well, I guess it goes back to, you know, if you can't do the time, don't do the crime. If you can't afford to pay the RIAA, don't share music. Not that I condone that. I'm not saying that I do, but this is just a verdict that's really, really, really amazing. It really is. Okay, the next article up is about collections. How many of you have maybe the ladies have a spoon collection, maybe the fellows have a hat collection, maybe some of you have kids that have baseball card collections, or even adults. You know, some people collect coins. Well, what would you be considered if you were a Apple computer collector? They got a picture over on Gizmodo.com of a guy's spare room filled with almost every Apple model ever made. I'm looking at this pictures of this guy's room, and my mouth, it essentially drops open here. It is wall-to-wall Macs, specially built racks. Every one of the computers work, but he has bought every computer model, every computer that Mac makes from the beginning of time. He has more than 150 of them in his house. This is simply, I'm flabbergasted. I really am. But he's been restoring machines that he's bought that he hasn't been able to, you know, get a hold of, you know, machines that he's collected. You know, he's went in and rebuilt them. So, you know, they're trying to do an estimate of how much the collection would be worth on eBay. But this guy is, I would say, fan number one. I wonder if he's got an Apple tattoo. The Zune guy, you know, the Zune guy that has, they got the tattoo. He's talking about his plan for his new tattoos. It should be kind of interesting to see the new tats this guy gets. But moving on here, how many of you use pretty good privacy, PGP? Well, there's an undocumented bypass in PGP's whole disk encryption system. Now, I've used PGP, probably it's been 2 or 3 years, to encrypt a folder, you know, basically some select items. I've never used their product to do a whole disk encryption. I can't imagine doing that. But apparently, the whole disk encryption product has an encryption bypass feature that allows an encrypted drive to be accessed without the boot up passphrase challenge dialog. So I guess this is a not so apparent feature, not a bug, that is in the documentation that ships with the PGP product. Now, this information, actually they're saying it's not documented, but it is available on their website. So if you're a PGP user, you'll definitely want to check this out. And especially if you're using the whole disk encryption product, it definitely will affect all of you out there. And I'm sure if you're, you know, you're encrypting stuff, you don't want the encryption to be bypassed by mistake. This next article is totally incredible. It really is. How many of you have ripped some CDs that you own? What would you say if you heard that Sony's BMG's head lawyer said that ripping CDs is stealing? It appears that this RIAA lawsuit that went down, and that they had that verdict that went against that lady this weekend. Apparently, there was a gal that was part of Sony's BMG head of litigation who testified, and she was able to say some pretty incredible things. And that her opinion was that making a copy of a purchased music is just a nice way of saying steals just one copy. And that viewpoint, of course, implicates pretty much everything most consumers do with music and computers today, including transferring songs to iPods and Zunes. This comes from Engadget. So I bet you there was a few jurors on that team who had probably ripped a few CDs in their time, but it's curious that... that they would imply that ripping CDs is stealing and not actually fair use. I contend that ripping CDs is absolutely fair use. As long as you bought the CD and you own it, and you're ripping it to put it on your PC or your portable media device, you know, you're not going to be listening to both at the same time, so that's definitely fair use. So we will see where this goes, but... and Engadget's reporting on that. All right, the 700 megahertz wars are are really starting to heat up. Google has slammed Verizon over their recent actions within the 700 megahertz auction rules. And, you know, Engadget says this is an incredibly boring issue. And I'm like, hello? You know, do they really understand what's at stake here with this spectrum auction? So while Google... has come out and put their fist in Verizon's face today. I expect Verizon to do do the same. But Google essentially said that Verizon was ignoring the realities of the U.S. wireless market and making arguments that are simply contrary to what the FCC's new rules actually say. Now, Verizon hasn't replied yet, but we expect them to reply to Google's assertions here. But it is, you know, it's pretty obvious to all of us that Verizon doesn't want to play by the FCC's rules, and they're going to do everything they can to levy pressure against the FCC to change the rules so that they can keep, if they buy some of the spectrum, that they're going to be able to, you know, lock phones down like they are doing now, like the rest of the carriers are, including the good old folks at AT&T and Apple. So... I think we need to all stay on top of what's going on with that and continue to, you know, write blog posts that, you know, are, if you think it's positive, make positive comments about what the FCC is doing here in the 700 megahertz spectrum rule. We cannot let these big monolithic companies to get the rules changed or modified in the last hour. Maybe we just need to make sure it doesn't. We need to make sure that... we hold the FCC's feet to the fire on their rules and don't let, any deltas to that happen. How many of you buy, I'm sure all of you have bought that, that perfect gift or that perfect device, and maybe you needed to use it in the car, but it's been encased in that near indestructible, evil plastic shell packaging. Every one of us has got one of those in the past. Well, what I usually use on that is my wife downstairs in the kitchen has some of these meat scissors. I guess that's a better way to describe them. They're real cheap, cost a couple bucks in a dollar store or something like that. And they don't last very long, but they're, you know, the cheap enough you can throw away. But there's a new company that has come out with a new tool. It's called Open It. And this is a tool that's designed to, you get it, shear away those... that plastic so you can get into those packages easily. And you look at this thing and it almost looks to me like a modified pair of snips that you would use for actually cutting sheet metal and that kind of stuff. It's a modified sheet metal cutter. So they've come out with one of these. I don't know what they cost, but it's at $11, so it's cheaper than a Craftsman's Handy Cut. So you can find this over at, I guess, enjoyzebra.com/open. I'll have a link to the article in the show notes. But everyone needs one of these in their car. Make sure you don't put it in your carry-on bag because you'd be arrested by the TSA for carrying a weapon. But if you need to get one of those plastic packages open, this looks like the perfect tool. What do you guys use? What you guys? What's the most frustrating package you've ever had to open? I know that I've. It just drives me crazy, especially if I need to get in. Like, you know, you buy something and you bought it on the run, and you want to get in the car and you want to open it up, and you're trying to, like, jab a pen through it or something so that you can get a little hole to get a tear, and then pretty soon you've cut your finger. And we've all faced that. Every one of us have. And it's pretty frustrating. It really is. All right, those of you that are WordPress users, I found a very cool plugin for you. It's the WordPress Automatic Upgrade plugin. Oh yeah. This is awesome. It really is. It is being rated one of the best WordPress plugins ever written, and it makes upgrading WordPress quick and super easy. And it lets you know exactly what it's doing each step of the way. It backs up both of your files and database and grabs the latest version of WordPress and updates it. You then can, it disables your plugins and re-enables them after you're all done. And it's really, really cool. I wish Mobile Type had one of these. This is a great thing for those of you that are running a WordPress on your own websites and you're not techie. You get this installed, and it may solve you a lot of heartaches over the long run. So a very, very cool plugin for those of you using WordPress. Also, some very interesting news on the content delivery network front. Level 3, who is a huge, huge, huge backbone provider, has announced today that they are going to be lowering prices for CDN services to match the same prices that customers pay for high-speed IP transport. And essentially what that means is that level 3 is, maybe connects to AT&T, MCI, all the different companies that have fiber and backbone. And they all have these peering arrangements. And essentially what happens is they agree to transport traffic between them at a specific rate. And then if there's a delta between, you know, if a network pushes a whole bunch of traffic through them that they didn't get recip traffic from, then there's some sort of a billing that takes place to pay for the transit of that data. Now, level 3 is basically saying that they are going to be lowering their prices to match what the same price that customers pay for high-speed IP transport. So I don't know what that's going to equate into, but people are expecting that this is really going to have an impact on level 3, but LimeWire and several other of the CDN services out there. We were actually looking at some CDN data today, and it looks like that even though Amazon S3 is not necessarily a CDN, their per gig price is lower now than some of the other CDN services out there. So they're becoming more competitive in content delivery. So this level 3 announcement could have even more impact in driving prices down another 20 to 30% across the board, which that's terrific. It really is. With all this new media content being created out there, you know, the cost of hauling it and delivering it is very, very expensive. So we'll see what happens with L3. I actually sent this email over to Angelo, my creative director. I know he's been working on some stuff lead programmer. He's been working on some stuff for some of the new products that we're going to be bringing online at Raw Voice and within our communities. Excuse me. And so this may change, depending on the pricing change, this could change our spreadsheets considerably and drive the cost down even more. So we'll see what happens there. Now, in real disturbing news, it appears that the Chinese government, has added a blanket ban on all RSS feeds. This is huge. If they have went out and blocked all of the RSS feeds throughout the entire world from being accessed, Really, this cuts off a significant number of the Chinese people from the rest of the world, at least being able to get syndicated data. It's not to say that all websites are blocked, but China has definitely upped the ante here in blocking RSS. Aren't you glad most of you, I'm sure most of the audience live in a country where you're not censored. You can, no matter what your political viewpoint, no matter what your, what your, it's just, you don't have to worry about this. The governments don't meddle like this. We wouldn't stand for it. But in China, they really, it's still red China. It's a communist country, and the government can do pretty much whatever they want. And even though the growing number of people that are using the internet in China is said to more than likely exceed those in the United States next year, the Chinese government is still has a pretty iron fist on some content delivery. So no new media is going to be delivered via RSS to the Chinese people. Well, thank the folks over at Blogger and Podcaster Magazine for doing an article on the podcast awards that took place out in Ontario. I do appreciate their coverage of that. All right, what else have I got here on the list tonight? That's a duplicate article and close that. Let's see here. Oh, you remember earlier in the year when AT&T announced plans that essentially they were going to request the ISPs install filters to try and block the transfer of unauthorized content at the behest of the entertainment industry? Well, it appears that they had to go before Congress and defend this decision. And their actual claim was that these filters were actually helping their consumers. Basically, AT&T went out and said, "Hey, we put these filters in place so that our customers would get the kind of content we want them to get, not what they want." the whole point of the filter was to make less content available. So while they were trying to block the transfer of media via BitTorrent and other types of transfer methods, it appears that this didn't go over real well with some congressional people at a hearing. So we'll see what becomes of this. But they're still pushing ISPs to install filters so that you cannot access content via the AT&T network through your ISP. So many of you probably can, if you go to your PC and you load up a command line and you type in traceroute and then you put in a domain name somewhere, you'll see exactly where your traffic routes from your computer to how it gets to the computer that has the specific website. And many times you'll go through maybe one, two hops down, you'll jump onto a big delivery pipe like AT&T, and you'll bounce through three or four AT&T servers before you punch out on the other side and get close to wherever the server may be that has your the content that you're trying to get. So what they've done here is, basically anybody that routes through AT&T, this is the request of them, earlier in the year to put these filters in place. Very expensive, very hard to do, slows traffic down, and plus it's expensive. So I don't think a lot of companies have complied, but obviously the folks in Washington wanted to know, okay, what's the deal? And meanwhile, they tried to tap dance their way around the answers. It's pretty obvious of that. Okay, Japan's lunar princess begins orbit. Japan's first lunar probe began to orbit the moon on Friday, and they're getting off to a smooth start in a new space race. And they're going to be spending a couple of weeks moving the orbit in closer in preparation to do full-scale observations in December. So, congratulations to the Japanese for getting the spacecraft in orbit around the moon. All right, those of you that are Mac fans have been waiting for Leopard. Speculation is that Leopard may ship on October 26th, and they're saying that announcements are going to likely be between the 22nd and 27th. And I guess this comes from Apple Insider. And I think there was actually I saw something maybe in a different service today. It said Apple was going to make a end of the month announcement. So this may fits in may fit in with that launching of that product. The Senate has voted to allocate more money for NASA space shuttles. It appears that the legislatures have authorized that NASA is going to get an extra $1 billion to boost, to support the space shuttle and the ongoing replacement program. So they're afraid that what's going on is right now that Russia and China and India is maybe on the verge of overshadowing what's going on with the United States space program. So the increase in space funding came on the 50th anniversary of the Soviet Union's surprise launch of Sputnik 1. So it looks like this is going to add give the total budget to NASA of about $18.5 billion for the year, including about $2.2 billion for space station operations. So definitely a lot of money, but it's nice to see that I'm happy to see at least that the money put into NASA. They're thinking about what's going on over there, and they're going to need more money in the future for sure. All right, next week, Microsoft is scheduled to do 7 patches for next week, and the latest updates will affect all versions of Internet Explorer, Outlook Express, and other fixes to Windows, Word, and SharePoint. So looks like we're going to be getting some more. I'm looking here and see if any of these are high security risk ones that are being addressed. They don't really say, but expect 7 updates next week on Patch Tuesday. All right, last article of the night tonight before we get into listener comments and some voicemail. It appears that copy protection on some Blu-ray players have really not been good. The first 2 Blu-ray releases to hit the market, encrypted with the BD Plus, and this is an extra layer of protection designed to essentially keep the hackers away, is wreaking havoc on customers of those players. They're saying that people are putting a disc in the machines, and they're taking up to 2 minutes to load up to actually start playing a movie. And it's in some of the units are not even capable of playing back disc at all. So it appears to be an issue on Samsung's BDP1200 and LG's BH100. So keep an eye on this, and I'll have this up in the show notes. If you're thinking about buying a Blu-ray player or even buying discs that are encoded in Blu-ray, if they've got the BD Plus encryption on it, use extreme caution before buying those discs, because many of the Blu-ray players will not play them at all. So now they're saying here that the disc appeared to play back fine on all other Blu-ray players. So it appears to be only these 2 units from one unit from Samsung and one unit from LG. Okay, what have I got in voicemail? I don't even know. I haven't even played it, so we'll get that up here. Now, as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail hotline at 619-342-7365 and fire me your comments, thoughts, and let me know what you're thinking about the show. And we'll be back on a regular schedule from here on out. So no more breaks. We're back to, obviously to full production. And I'm not planning on going anywhere unless I go to Vegas and Nevada, but we're going to keep on rocking with the shows. If you get a chance, please support our sponsors. If you're going out and you're going to be purchasing a domain or a hosting account, definitely take the time to come over to geeknewscentral.com. If you can't remember the promo codes, go to the link blog. There's a list there of all the different promo codes that you can use. Your support of the sponsors here really help us out. And I definitely appreciate it. I really, really do. Now, another thing I want to reiterate here real quick is I'm going to start hitting this real hard on the next show, but we're still raising money for the laptop that we're going to buy to give to a child. So send your pledges in. I've gotten several pledges, kind of slow on the pledges out there, folks. Again, it doesn't have to be much. be $5, $10, $15, $20, $25, whatever you feel is necessary. But we've got to raise about $400 to buy one of these new, they call them a $100 laptop, but they're not $100, to send to a child in a third world country. And we'll have another unit. You get two for one right now. So send those pledges in. And those of you that have already pledged, I definitely appreciate it. And I need to get some information up on the website about this thing, too, so that you all can get exact information. And I'll actually need to put like a little tote board up to show you where we're at in the fundraising, you know, where we're at and where we need to be by sometime middle of next month. But anyway, again, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com, 619-342-7365 is the voicemail number. We got one voicemail tonight and some email. We'll get into that and we'll get you guys out of here. Here is the voicemail.
Hi, Todd. This is Thomas in Virginia.
Hey, Thomas.
I've called into the show a couple of times. It's been a little while. But I just got off the phone with customer no service at Gateway. I had a laptop I bought just under a year ago, and the plastic housing around the LCD failed. It started splitting near the hinge and came completely undone when I closed it up to send it in the box that they gave me to send it in for repairs. So 2 weeks go by, and I call today to check on it, and I get the number to the warehouse for the repairs, and they're telling me that they're not going to cover it, that it looks like it's due to error on the operator. And all I do with this laptop is leave it at home, and it sits on a desk or in somebody's lap, and I open and close it, and that's it. There's no undue stress. And I tried to reason with the guy and talk with him, and he wouldn't have anything to do with it. And then I told him that I promoted Gateway to all my friends and anybody, coworkers, and that I was not going to promote it any longer, and then he proceeded to just get very short with me and then ask me if I wanted to pay the amount or have it returned to me without repair. So I very angrily told him to just send it on without repairing it. I just wanted everybody out there to know that Gateway is not willing to back their products or their warranties. I'm really disappointed, and I will never deal with this company again. I'm fed up with it. I love the show. Sorry to rant and rave like this, but I hope you can play this so that other people can avoid the same problem. Take care.
Bye. Hey, no, you can rant anytime you want. And this goes to anybody that's listening to the show. If you've had a bad customer service issue, fire me a voicemail. If you've had a good customer service, you know, experience, this is amazing. It's late here and my phone is ringing. You know what? In the entire time I've been recording this show, what are we at tonight? 3:06? I think the phone has rang once or twice in all the years. This is it must be her mother calling her. But anyway, no. Anytime you want to rant, feel free to send, you know, to rant away. And sad to see you had a bad experience with Gateway. I know that they've got some business issues right now, of course, and that's kind of been reported in the news, so maybe that's some of that's driving that. But, you know, when you get a new computer, if you decide to buy one, let me know what you've got, and hopefully you have a good customer service experience. And if you have a good customer service experience, hey, we want to hear about that as well. Okay, let me go ahead and move on here to the emails. I think I'm talking in circles here. I got an email from Bree. Bree's a long-term listener of the show, and she sent me this. She said, from a list of mine, hey, I've not verified this, but it can't hurt to try, especially during the 90-day return period. And she gleaned this from Mary Hunt's consumer blog, and the tip was, want the new iPhone but not the mandatory 2-year contract? Easy. During the activation by phone, when asked for a social security number, input 999-999999. When that comes up as not active, you'll be offered a month-to-month plan. Bingo. Bree, I've heard about this. I think it is the real deal. So while I still don't want a month-to-month plan with AT&T regardless, I think this is the real thing. And definitely it allow you to keep your phone on without making it a brick. And if you want to try the phone out. But got to really look at that Nokia N95. Got an email from John. He says, hey, Todd, Friday wasn't the same with a GNC to listen to. Glad to hear that you had fun and that your parties survived. Hope I'll be able to go there next year, finally to be able to meet you. Of course, if you ever come to Pennsylvania or Maryland, let me know. He says, with your respect to statement about needing to clean your office, I have asthma and allergies. I use a Holmes HEPA type air purifier like the one below in both my bedroom and my office. Yes, I need to buy filters every so often, but both my asthma and allergies are much more controlled than before. It's staggering to see what the filters look like after only a month in use, but they're definitely not the bright white that they were when I installed them. Any HEPA air purifier should work for you, of course. Not necessarily that model or Holmes in particular, but I know that these work really well for me for the amount of breathing and nasal problems they get rid of. They're not that expensive. Finally, I want to thank you for the plug. I really didn't expect you to do that. My last email was just a courtesy to you since you did help to bring it about, so I was shocked to see it in the links. But, hey, you're welcome for that. No problem. But, yes, I agree to your to your bottom statement, the last line in this. You know, I am really sick of this thing myself. And, you know, so far as HEPA filters go, I used to have a really, really good one. I mean, it was a very high-end unit, and it used the same filters that many hospitals use in operating rooms. And you had to replace these things about every 3 months because they would get plugged. It was just amazing the amount of stuff that they would capture out of the air. But maybe it is time to look for a HEPA filter, and maybe that will help the whatever's going on here with me, because it's gotten ridiculous. It really has. Okay, moving on to an email from Robin. Say, hey, Todd, in your last show, you talked about and had a link to pictures of Comet Iniki and its tail being torn off. If you haven't seen it already, here's a link to a NASA movie of the event happening. Very impressive. Hey, Rob, really, really cool. This will be in the show notes tonight. I watched this thing 3 or 4 times. Very, very cool. And it gives you a totally different perspective from what the pictures did. I got an email. Well, this is actually a PR email. I guess I'm going to skip this because I don't know this person. If I get a PR, something from a PR person, I'll cover it if I know who it is, but I don't know who that one's from. Got an email from John. He says, hey, Todd, wait till you see this. The RIAA is digging themselves into a huge hole, but they apparently don't know it. Yep, we've already talked about Jamie Thomas's trial, and he essentially goes into some technical aspects of the actual trial itself. But it, you know, she's obviously she's lost here, John, on this. So I don't know. You know, the RIAA hasn't dug themselves a hole. They've gotten a huge win on this. And also, he says, you also love this little nugget from the same trial. According to Jennifer Prazer, head of litigation for Sony, we talked about this in the show earlier also, that copying a CD that you legitimately own is theft. So we've got that. So anyway, I'll put this put a couple of these links up here that you provided me, John, as well. This is to a little different perspective of stuff on that particular trial. But it just goes to show you that most folks that are on these jury trials today, they just don't understand the technology, and you know, it's a resultant in the amount of money that she's going to have to pay now. I got an email from Jeff. He says, hey, just last weekend, me and my dad were in Raleigh, North Carolina to see some college football. He says, the Fairfield Inn we stayed at has a nice mall nearby named the Crabtree Valley Mall. This mall had a kiosk where we could sign up for Clearwire service. I could not believe how low profile the Clearwire unit is and how easy it is to hook up. I also stopped by one of the kiosks hawking mobile phone goodies, and they had a voice IP box you could hook up to your home phone to use it with Clearwire. It was the neatest stuff I'd ever seen. I'm surprised that Clearwire doesn't serve Louisville yet. All in all, a nice trip. So thanks, Jeff, for that. And you know what? I don't know if I'd run voice IP over Clearwire. Anyone doing that? Because it, you know, it's okay, but it's not doesn't have that big of a pipe. Really, I don't think I'd trust doing phone services and also at the same time downloading something. I don't think it would work real well. But anyway, thanks for that email. Appreciate it. Got an email from Matt. He said, I want to let you know and your listeners know about a website for pushing a la carte cable pricing. It's over at www.howcableshouldbe.com. This website gives an estimated prices of what your monthly cable goes to and what you could and what could happen if everything was unbundled. And second, I had a quick question about the podcast and portable media expo. I heard on This Week in Media that Doug Kay announced a software tool that synced audio and video by using their audio tracks and ignoring the time code. It's also possible that, like the Levelator, Doug would be giving this away for free. I would find a tool of this nature invaluable and was wondering if you heard anything while you were there and where I could download about it and find out more info. Let's see here. He was synced audio and video by using their audio tracks and ignoring the... Boy, I don't know, Matt. I'll fire an email off to Doug and say, what was this all about? And see if I can get maybe Paul. Let's listen. If Paul, if you're listening to the show, do you know what that is? You know what Doug's talking about? I know that they sold part of their audio publishing thing to Podango, but I don't know exactly what he's talking about here, what Doug's talking about. We'll see if we can find out an answer for that. Got an email from Simon. He says, hey, Todd, like many people feel strongly about being told what to do by giant corporations, I started boycotting Sony products after the rootkit fiasco. During this time, I advised friends not to buy Sony products. My in-laws now have a Dell rather than a Vio they were considering, and I changed a purchase decision at my work from Sony to JVC for a number of handheld camcorders. However, our television really needs updating to HD, and we've been busy saving up. My better half had looked at models in our local store and decided that Sony looked the best, which, if I am honest, it does, which they do. But he says, fortunately, the Sony BMG head of litigation, Jennifer Paziers, then reminded me why I started my boycott in the first place. I showed my other half this article, and this is basically the same article everyone else has sent me this last couple days on them saying that if we're ripping CDs, we're stealing. But anyway, he goes on to say, and we're now considering a Samsung television instead. Simon, see what people say? You know, see what these companies do? They drive their customers away by making idiotic, totally irrelevant, totally bogus comments. It's just amazing. So here is money that Sony is going to lose because of what this lady said. Folks, we have the power to change things. We do this one person at a time by voting with our wallets, our checkbooks, and our credit cards. This is how we change things. This is how we punish companies. And we publicly put that information on the internet to let them know that we're punishing them. If we don't do that, believe me, their PR agencies read the blogs. They know what customers are doing. And if enough people, if every one of you that was in this audience had a basic blog that you would blog to for your personal use, and if you would post on there, I'm not purchasing from Company X because of this. If every one of you did that, that's in this audience, oh my goodness. A small minority of people can make companies change. Same way things happening here in Hawaii through this big fiasco with the super ferry that's here. A small number of people are impacting a company that has spent millions and millions of dollars to bring a great service to Hawaii. And as I kind of quote it, only in Hawaii could this happen. But we on the net can have a big, big impact by just speaking out and vocalizing, as my mom says, giving ourselves a voice, not necessarily through a podcast, but through our blogs, on how we're going to punish companies for doing and saying things that they say. So anyway, wow, here we are, hour and 15 minutes, and I'm done, and tomorrow's a big day for me, so I need to get this wrapped up and get in bed. I got my speech written. I promised the guys today as we were doing practice. I said, I'm going to keep it to an hour and 20. And they looked at me kind of funny. But I've actually got 19 talking points, and I want to be done in 20 minutes. You think I can get done? I think you all know the answer to that. So, but guess what? It's my day. I get to talk as long as I want. So anyway, all right, folks. We'll see you next week on Tuesday. Y'all take care. Keep those comments coming in. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline 619-342-7365. We'll see you next time. Take care. Be safe. Aloha.